Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour with Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here it is. Another week has rolled by, and we're back at your house. And I just love to come to visit you and worship with you. And really, we're not in any particular room, because where we are at is at the throne of God. And we're all gathering around the throne of God as we worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And in our services, we honor God in every way we can. And then we preach to bring people to Jesus, to make an acceptance of Jesus, a decision for Jesus Christ. And then we always pray for the shut-ins and those who are older and those who are gray-haired and those who are having their special problems that come with old age. I'm 94, so I can tell you about that. But Jesus is with us all the time. Sometimes they say, oh, you're a week closer to the grave. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm a week closer to heaven. That's the way you put it. Well, today we're going to be thinking about how can a Christian live in a hostile world? And the world is against Christ. And so how do we live in that world? But first of all, some of the letters. I know you like the letters, and we just love getting them. And so here's one from Salem, Oregon. My, that must be a nice town named Salem. And it's from a prison. And this man writes, I have been trying to catch the show every Sunday. It gives me the hope I need to get through the week. I'm a pretty new Christian. I've accepted Jesus into my heart. I have faith in Jesus. My biggest problem is letting things go that I have no control over. Currently, I'm in Oregon State Prison and have 90 months to serve. Any literature you could please send me would be appreciated. Well, we hear from prisoners all the time. I know from at least 15, maybe 16, 17 different prisons around the United States. We answer every letter these prisoners write to us. And in this case, we'll send him literature and help him to get started in the Christian life. And so we just pray for these dear people. Here's from Oak Harbor, Washington. I saw your show and request information on your sermon and anything that can help an elderly shut-in that lost relationships with his wife and children because of his addiction to alcohol. Isn't that sad? But let me tell you something. There's hope. With the gospel, there's hope. And when you take Jesus into your life and you ask him to help you, and you can live above it and you can beat it, there's always hope in Jesus. Here's one from Kansas City, Missouri. This may be my last letter. Doctor says I must go to assisted living because of eyes and other health problems. Just want you to know, as long as I breathe, my prayers will be with you. Just keep on trucking with Jesus. He'll take you by the hand. I feel his love and care for me right now. Isn't that a beautiful letter? Isn't that beautiful? And here's somebody, though the old age is making change in life, and we have to change. When we get older, we have to shift gears and make a lot of changes. But here she is, trusting Jesus, rejoicing in Jesus. Here's Shawnee, Kansas. You state the truth and make me realize I want to be a better Christian and live for Jesus. Thank you. And you know, we have a little Bible study that we put out, and it's called The New Song. The New Song. So you get your pencil and paper, and I'll give you the address in just a minute. And that new song has a Bible study, and then it also will have the sermon topics and titles. And then it will tell you where you can find that sermon. And it has excerpts from letters from people that wrote in. And you'll just love it. And it's free and postpaid. The new song. Now just hang on. I'll give it to you in a minute. Here is Pulaski, New York. I am a Christian, retired from my nursing career. I'm writing to ask for 3 copies of your booklet on suicide. I have 2 close friends who have had children commit suicide, and I would like a copy. I'm on a fixed income and unable to send you any money. Thank you so much for sharing your gift with us. Now, this lady is writing about a little book that I've written, and it's called Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? And the answer is yes, indeed. You bet he can or she can. If you have accepted Jesus, you'll go to heaven even if you commit suicide. Now, it's a 10-page booklet, and I got 8 reasons, 8 scriptures. It's not telling I didn't die and come back to life or something like that. I'm giving you what the Bible says, what God says. And so you write to us, just put suicide, and send us a donation if you can. Help us to pay the way. Some of you can't. This lady can't. That's fine. We'll send it anyway, and somebody else will make it up. So you write, and I'll give you the address in just a second. Let me give you one more letter. This is from Edmonds, Washington. We listen to you every Sunday. My husband and I are both paralyzed in wheelchairs. Sometimes we're bedbound. Your ministry is such a blessing. We go to Calvary Chapel, Edmonds, Washington. We live 2 blocks away from our church. God is so good. We're able to roll there with our wheelchairs. We thank you for your prayers and encouraging letters. And so we do encourage you to go to church. Go where the gospel is preached. You can get to hear the gospel that way, and it'll give you strength and help. But if you can't get out, we'll be glad to be your church or be one of them. There are other good Christian television programs and services, and we'll be glad to add to that and be a blessing to you. And so if you would like to get this new song, or if you want this article on the suicide, or you just want to write to us, or you have a question, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to get us, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com if you want to use the internet. And so we just hope we'll hear from you, and we'll just keep going, and you keep helping, and God will just do the rest. Well, we're looking today at as a special day because November 1st has been set aside as International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, World International. And so we're going to have a special sermon just for this occasion. That there's, on November 1, it's an International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And we want to pray for these people, and we want to support them every way we can. The Christian Worship Hour gladly joins hands in praying for people worldwide. And this time it's set up by the Voice of the Martyrs. And this time they're praying for 2 things. They're praying for the persecuted. And listen to this. And they're praying for the persecutors. The one who brings the problem. The one who brings death. They're praying for that person too. Now, why would you do that? Well, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So Jesus is our supreme example. And he tells us to pray for these that persecute us. And what did Jesus do? When he was on the cross, he prayed for them. He says, the people that crucified him, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So martyrdom has raged in the body in the first believers, and it is not abated in the 2,000 years. It's still with us. As a matter of fact, there are more people being put to death for Jesus Christ today than at any other time in the 2,000 years history of the church. And so right today, Christians are being persecuted and dying for the Lord. And so we have this wonderful International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. For those who are persecuted, we pray God's grace and love and strength. And for those who persecute, we pray that they'll come to know Jesus. And we pray them because Jesus taught us and told us to pray for them. Much of our information that we have comes through an organization called the Voice of the Martyrs. And if you want to contribute to them, they're a worthy cause, and you can get them on the internet on persecution.com. and you can get out of a lot of their requests, and you can help them and pray for them. We support them 100%. And so today we want to look at this matter of praying for these people and looking at the persecuted people. For instance, we have the story of Richard and Sabina Warmbrand in his book, and it's called In God's Underworld. And Richard describes how a man visiting his home revealed that he probably participated in the murder of Sabina's family, the wife's family. Although Sabina lay ill in a separate room, Richard went to tell her who was in their home. And Sabina got up and embraced the man, offered him forgiveness, and prepared him food. That's the Christian response to those who persecute. Others Christians have witnessed accounts of how the unsaved have come to know Jesus because they prayed for them. In one instance, an ISIS fighter, that is an Islamic State fighter, killed a Christian, but he was touched by the believer's love who gave him his Bible before the terrorists killed him. And the terrorists took the Bible home and read it and studied it and came to know Jesus. And we all know the story on December 18th, 2014, a year ago. Micah and Dorcas Magi walked through the village of Nigeria. They were confronted by a group of Muslim men who surrounded them and demanded that they deny Jesus Christ as Lord. And when they refused to do it, Dorcas was put to death. And then hacked on both Micah's forearms with a machete until they cut off his right arm, right hand. A 35-year-old Micah says that they left him there for dead, but by the power of God, he didn't die and he's alive. And do you know what Micah says? He has this loss of this one hand and the loss of his wife, but he says he is willing to go and witness to these men who are in prison and witness about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I marvel at the strength of these Christians in some of these places. And here's a man who dies for his faith, but he's willing to witness to those who took his arm and took his wife, and he wants to tell them about Jesus and be a witness for the Lord. It just makes your heart ache when you think of they are our brothers and sisters. They're part of the family of God and how they suffer for Jesus' sake. And so we join hands all over the world today and we pray for the persecuted church and we pray for the persecutors also. But honestly, how can we pray for those who persecute us? And I'll tell you how you can do it. It depends on our relationship with God. We can't do it in our own strength. It's the God's helping us. And so I put out 5 ways in how we have to live if we want to live a Christian life and as a member of the persecuted church. The first of all, we have to live in an atmosphere of love. Jesus told us how to handle those who persecute us. This is what Jesus said. You heard it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, hate thine enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that persecute you. Do good to them and hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You almost gasp for air when you read that statement of Jesus. Bless them that persecute us. Do good to them that hate us. Pray for them who persecute us. And honestly, I'm going to tell you, it can't be done unless you have the help of Jesus Christ in your heart and in our hearts. We cannot do it alone. And so, how do we love them? How do we love them? Here, Jesus tells us how. Listen to what he says. Matthew 22, verse 37. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Jesus tells us, he didn't say, I suggest you do the love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind. I don't wish it. It would be well. You might try. He says, thou shalt. You know what that is? That is a command to love. And people say, oh, you can't love, it's all emotions. And if you don't have the emotions, you can't love. Oh, no. Jesus said, you can love if you want to. I command you to love. What does he say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's a command. It's not a request. And so we love it. And so this is an act of the will. We decide that we're going to love. And so we decide to follow Jesus. We decide to love our friends. And we decide we're going to love our enemies. And while you're trying to make up your mind on this matter, listen to the words of St. Paul in Romans chapter 5. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Listen here. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were his enemies, he died for us. Romans 5, 6 to 8. So there you have it. He died for us when we were his enemies. God knows we persecuted his son, yet he loved us. And so that's the thing we have to do. We have to get that love and just decide we are going to love. And then we have to practice forgiveness. It's an important part of the equation of living a Christian life in a hostile world. We have to learn to forgive, and we have to forgive fully from the heart. From the voice of the martyrs, the report, this makes this report, February 2015, the Islamic State posted a video online showing the execution of 21 Christians in Libya. The execution of 21 Christians in Libya. The video shows the Christians dressed in orange jumpsuits, kneeling on a beach with black-clothed militants standing behind them. One by one, the Christians are beheaded. As the camera focuses on their faces, they can clearly be seen mouthing the words, Lord Jesus Christ, in Arabic. All but one of the men were Egyptian Coptic Christians. Most were from a small town in Upper Egypt. Many of the families of the men who were killed have already praying for the executioner's salvation. And one of the men who was executed was Malik Ibrahim Sinyat, 27 years old. His widow, Miriam, learned of her husband's death while watching a Christian TV channel. A record of her interview with her by Voice of the Martyrs, they interviewed this wife of this slain man. And this is the way it goes. The interviewer says, that must have been very hard. What was your reaction? And Miriam says, we were very sad for the first 2 days. We hadn't seen the video. When we saw them in the video calling on Jesus, we were comforted. The interviewer says, did you see your husband in the video? And Miriam says, I demanded to see the video to see if my husband was among the martyrs. And then they question, and when you realize that he was, Miriam said, I was very proud that he stood firm in his faith and he didn't deny Jesus. The voice of the martyr says, you are proud that he didn't deny Jesus? And the wife says, I'm very proud because he made all the Christians proud in the entire world. The interviewer says, but what about your little boy? You have a 2-year-old boy who will grow up without a daddy. And the wife replies, the widow replies, there is a verse in the Bible that says that God is the father of the orphans and the widows. I'm sure that God will not leave us. Then the interview goes on. Why do you think God allowed this to happen to your husband? And the wife and the widow says, God selected them to send a message to everybody who is far away from him to get back to God. That's the reason, is to bring them back to God, to Jesus. They say, so you think that's why God allowed that to happen? And Miriam says, we were very happy that Jesus came to the earth and was crucified for our sins. In the same way, we're very happy that they are sacrificed their lives for Jesus. And then he goes on. He says, what has it meant for you personally and for your faith? And the wife says, it makes my faith stronger and encourages me not to fear anything or anybody. And it makes me stronger to know that God doesn't leave us. How about your little boy? What will you tell him as he gets older? And the widow says, I will tell him to be proud of his father that he didn't deny Jesus. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story of this dear lady. And her faith stands firm and true. Friend of mine, I'm going to tell you, if we're going to live in a Christian life in a hostile world, we are going to have to learn to forgive. And then we're going to live in the attitude of prayer. And we'll have to learn how to pray and to stay close to the God, because the devil is going to be at us to deny, to become angry with the people that persecuted, to be angry with God because something happened. And so we have to learn to pray and always be in an attitude of prayer, looking to God for his help and his strength. And God will give us peace and help if we do that. He says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And while they die, there can be peace in our heart. We need to live in an attitude of prayer, and we have to live in the face of suffering and death. We have to realize, my dear friends, that we're called into a world that is hostile, and that Satan is powerful, and he's going to persecute us all the way. And all remember this, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that he has called us to bear a cross. And the symbol for the Christian faith is not an easy boy rocker. It is a cross, an old rugged cross, and the cross speaks of death. And so we have to plan on suffering and do it willfully and happily. And finally, we need to live in the anticipation of Jesus coming again. He might come at any moment, at any second. And so take heart and carry on. Peter tells us, beloved, think it not strange concern the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Keep your eye on the goal. Jesus is coming again. And Paul says, he writes to Titus, and he tells him, oh, there's going to be troubles, but always keep your eyes on Jesus. This is what he says to Titus in the second chapter, verses 12 and 13. He tells us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, ye should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hope, 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 that's the bright and shining star that helps us to carry on, to continue no matter what happens in the way. Jesus Christ is that hope. And so we keep our eyes on Jesus. We face any foe, we climb any mountain, we defeat any enemy, we overcome any difficulty, we sing in any storm, we are assured of ending up safely. And though many a soul has been dashed at last, only to find that they had a false hope, but the Christians have a hope that is eternal and that will never fade away. And what does the hymn writer say? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Our hope is Jesus Christ. And though there may be persecutions and troubles and trials, remember this. God is on the throne and you trust him. And so we render a national day of prayer to the persecuted church. What do we say to those who are persecuted? We say we are proud of you. We take strength from you. We are a part of this wonderful God. We say take heart and never give up. We see you and we love you. And to those who persecute, we tell you, oh, turn to Jesus. Aren't you sick and tired of the blood and the death and the violence? And listen to the Christ who loves you, and he'll forgive you if you come to him. And if you're watching us today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, and you say, oh, I wish I had a faith like that, you can have that faith. It's there for the asking. And that's all. How do you get that faith? Oh, you come to Jesus and you tell him that you're a poor lost sinner, and you ask him in your own words, just come into my heart, Jesus, and take away my sins, and I'll forsake those wicked ways and turn from those wicked ways. I'll serve you the best I can. And I thank you, Jesus, for saving me and give me strength to die for you like these others if needs be. Give me that faith and God will do it. Oh, my friends, this is our family all over the world. And some of our families in heaven safe, and some of our families on earth, and some of our families in luxury and living in ease, while part of our family is suffering and dying. And we need to pray for them and give to their support financially. And we need to stand by, and if it comes to our door, we need to stand and say, though he slay me, and I will trust him, I will never deny Jesus Christ. So I hope that God will help us all to be better Christians. And I hope that you'll help us in this work, because I'm going to tell you, we can't carry on if you don't support us. You got to send us money. We have to have your gifts. And you can do that by sending to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We have to have your help to carry on. And so we're just leaving it up with the Lord. If God wants this ministry to go on, He'll lay it on your heart and you can respond. And you can help us in this work and pray for us and pray for our people all over the world. These people are suffering and dying. And be willing to do it yourself. And so we're going to pray. Now, we always pray for the shut-ins. Those who are in their senior years, those old people with the gray hair like I've got, those who have lived all their life and toward the end now, and we pray for them. Because, dear Lord, we pray for those on beds of sickness, can't get out of bed today. They're in the wheelchair. They're never going to get out of that wheelchair. Or they have, like I am, they use a walker. And they have their limitations, and they have their aches and their pains. And some of them, Lord, are lonely. Their children don't come to see them, or their friends don't come to see them. And help them to know that you said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee, and that you love them and you're there with them. And even though they don't feel your presence, help them to know your presence, because it's a contract. It's not by feelings. It's by what you say and what we believe. And so, oh, bless them. Them, Lord, and help them to take heart, and someday Jesus is going to come and is going to take them home, and oh, won't they rejoice when they see heaven in all of its glory, and we'll see all of the martyrs, and we'll see the people of all the ages, and we'll see our loved ones and our friends. Oh God, help us to love you and serve you. And you folks write this. It's on the screen there. You can take it off of the screen. Just write it down. Send us a gift. Send us a letter. Don't forget us. We need your help. And God bless you, everyone. And you know God loves you, and we love you, and that's why we have this ministry. That's why we're carrying on, honoring Christ. God bless you, everyone.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.